Hello, this is For His Glory with Joel and
Danielle Young.
We welcome you today. We're teaching the Bible through Hebrew eyes, in which we look at the Bible primarily through the Hebrew language, customs, culture, traditions, teachings, the whole Bible, people, Genesis to Revelation, and a spirit and a word agree. Amen?
Amen.
Amen, Danielle. Today we're going to teach in the 10 words that are wrongly called the 10 commandments, and I refer you to Exodus 34:28, where Moses writes down the 10 words on the tablets. Okay, let me give that to you. We've mentioned this last week. If you're just joining us today, let's bring it up for your edification. That's in Exodus chapter 34, verse 28. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did not eat bread or drink water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Literally, people, that doesn't say Ten Commandments in Hebrew. It's Aseret HaDvarim. Aseret HaDvarim. It means literally the ten words. Okay? That's what God said. That's the way it is. That's the way we say it then. Okay? Whatever God says, that's it. Now, let's go to Exodus 20, in which you'll have the words listed, HaDvarim. Now, we're focusing today on a particular one that has caused some misunderstanding. Well, I shouldn't say caused, but others have had misunderstanding with. And let's look at it together. And Danielle, if you'd like to read it.
This is Exodus 20, verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain.
Interesting. Now, we're going to go into that in depth today, people, and let's keep that reference available so you can all go back and forth to it and keep your Bibles open, please. Let's talk, Danielle. How do people normally interpret that in their life?
Well, the way I've heard it is usually if you, hurt yourself and you say, oh, Jesus, you know, stub your toe
right,
or something.
The fall.
Yeah, or if you see an accident and you say, oh, God, you know, and
right.
People seem to think that's taking God's name in vain.
It jolts them, right? They go,
you know, yes.
I mean, how could you say that, right?
Yes.
Now, does that sound right? First of all, if someone said they stubbed their toe or trip and they say, oh, geez, or they see a tragedy or an accident just grips you, the sheer force of it, and you go, oh, my God, you know? Is that blasphemy? Is that taking the name of the Lord in vain?
No, actually, it seems quite appropriate to me.
Why is that?
Because if there's a situation that requires some sort of help, I hope you call on God and Jesus and you speak his name over that situation.
Who else are you going to call? Ghostbusters? I mean, come on. I mean, come on, people. We got to get a little more mature than that, right? Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
You know, and if you had to call Ghostbusters, I don't even know if you know their number, but if you ended up calling them, they should refer you back to God. So they say, you're calling the wrong place, right? God will bust that up. Call God. He'll take care of it there.
Yes.
Isn't it interesting? In a tragedy or in a foxhole, as they would say in war, there are no atheists in the foxholes, not if they're smart.
Right.
If a plane's going down, you usually, and I'm not going to say it on this tape, but you usually don't see people referring typically to other so-called gods that are not gods and
right.
crying out.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard even people say who are not people of faith yet, they say, oh, Jesus.
Definitely.
Now, where did they get that? How could it come out and people, this bypasses their mind. They're just saying, oh, Lord, oh, God, oh, my God.
Jesus.
These people who don't even believe, why is this so impregnated so deeply in their soul that they would just cry out to God? Now, is that taking the name in vain?
Definitely not.
Why would some people think it is?
It just became a habit. It became, I guess, part of custom.
Yeah, I think you may be right. This is becomes what happens. See, tradition, people, is a good word with good and bad usages. Yes.
And then the more you hear it, the more you think it's true.
This is the point about a lie spoken often enough is often perceived as truth. We have this in a great unfortunate example with Hitler, who basically told people in his book, Mein Kampf, what he was going to do. And either people disbelieved, didn't want to believe, put their head in the sand like it didn't exist sometimes. And the sad fact of the matter is, he got a lot of support by people who did not oppose, and a certain amount of support by people who did support. It's a sad thing, but there's an old saying, when good people do nothing, evil succeeds.
Right.
Now, ultimately, evil will never triumph, because God is God and there is none else, period. God has entrusted the world to his saints, to his people. So all people of covenant, it says in Psalm 115:16, it says, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of Adam. God says, here's earth, which includes Texas, where we live. And he says, here, take care of it. In a parable of the man, the king going away to a far country, he entrusts the kingdom to his servants. And he says, this is my kingdom. I give it to you. I'm coming back to take stock of how you've traded. Right? The parable, he goes away to a far country, and he says, I'm giving you the kingdom. I'm giving you control of the earth, let's say, and I've given you the talents that you need to get it done. When I come back, people, there's no greater businessman than Jesus Christ, than God himself. He'll take stock of all our words, our thoughts, our idle words, our idle actions, the good and the evil in our life, and weigh us in the balance, and it's going to be judged according to the gospel of Christ. Here, we are commanded, it's another, thou shalt not, okay? Thou shalt not take the name of Yahweh, your God, in vain. All right, so here, this is talking about covenant. We have covenant, your God, the Lord, your God, in vain.
That's referring to believers.
Right, yes, these are commands given to people of covenant,
okay.
Exactly,
mm-hmm.
All right? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Why? For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now, let's look at this very carefully. It says, you shall not take the name. What is it? Does it say you shall not speak about the Lord your God in vain? Or does it say you shall not take, and we'll do the word take in a moment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Why does it say the name? Well, we need to know what a name is. How do we normally use the word name today?
Just to refer to someone.
I couldn't say it any better. Just to refer to somebody. It's a tag. It's like a call sign for, you know, in when you're driving along the road or something, or you get someone's attention as opposed to go, psst, 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 you know, psst, I need you. That's just not really too good. So what do? We have a name, but it's lost its force. A lot of people, when they have babies, they have children, they look up these baby name books, they see all these name meanings and definitions. That's the next step in the right direction. Names connote three things, people, and should write it down. What are the three things a name connotes?
Names connote Essence,
nature,
and identity.
Perfect. Nature, essence, and identity. When you say, what is your name, you're really asking somebody in a biblical mindset, in a Hebraic mindset, what is your nature? Who are you really? So I don't take 20 years before I begin to find out who you really are, and I just see what you do, but I don't know who you are. I want to know your identity. I ask, who are you? What is your essence? All right. What would happen, people, if from now on, when you ask somebody, what is your name, you didn't settle for any less than really getting back the answer? What is your essence? What are you really about? What's your true nature? What is your true nature that gives you really the identity that is who you are? Would we be a lot more transparent for each other? Would we be able to see each other a lot more in a real way? Would we have all these things getting in a way that maybe we didn't find out for years? Don't think so, would we? Be a lot more honest, a lot more clear. Now, how does that apply here? You shall not take the nature of the Lord your God in vain. You shall not take the essence of the Lord your God in vain. Getting clearer, right?
Right.
You shall not take the identity of the Lord your God in vain. Period. Now, here's an interesting thing about the word take. All right, what does it mean to take? How do we use the word take today? I take a bus, I take my vitamins, I take a ride, I take a trip, right? It's some possessiveness to it, right?
It could mean to do or to take possession of.
To take possession of, to do. In Hebrew people, it's a different word altogether. The word take is used here is from the Hebrew word nasa. The first part of the verse is tisa. The second part, it says yisa, second person masculine singular and third masculine singular. So really, the root of this word is to lift or to carry. Now, that sounds a little different, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Thou shalt not take, thou shalt not lift or carry forth, right? Thou shalt not lift the essence, the nature of the Lord your God in vain. Now, first, going back to the term lift, in grammar, so you know it's cal imperfect, which means it's a simple action in the future, all right? This is something you better not do, all right? It's telling you your next steps, what you are going to do, the future, the next steps, that's its most common use in for the imperfect in Hebrew. Don't do this. Don't do this future action. Don't lift the essence or nature or of God, of the Lord your God, in vain. Now, what does this term in vain mean? How do we normally use that, people? What do you think of vain or vanity?
Vanity.
Right.
For our own purposes?
Okay, let's think. First, the word in is a bad translation, and I'm sorry you're handicapped by the English here. God expects us to all be good, what? Talmidim, which is a, what? What's a Talmidim?
A learner.
Perfect. Let's give him one more step, because you're more advanced.
Yes.
A Talmidim is our disciples. Talmid is disciple, comes from the Hebrew word lil mod, L-I-L-M-O-D, L-I-L-M-O-D, to learn. Thus, a disciple
is a learner.
Oh, see, there you are. So God says to make learners. So we're learning. So you must make sure you learn. And don't be afraid to learn. You go to school for years, especially if you're going to be a professional. It could be from K to 12, college, grad school. You go on and on, you're going closing on 20 years, all right? And more. Let's not do any less for the Word of God and the God of the Word, okay? He deserves all the more. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, thou shalt not what? Take? No, thou shalt not lift up or carry the name, the essence of the Lord, your God, you're in relationship. La shava. La is the prefix. Now, it doesn't mean in. You would say the word b, like a B sound, bait. La means to or for, or in regard to, towards, for. La, say la.
La.
La. Okay, so la is, thank you. La means to or for, in regard to. So it's not in vain. It's to or for. Now, the word vain should be understood as vanity. Not to vanity. This is even better. In a Hebrew lexicon, Brown, Driver, Briggs, and Cassinius. It's a Hebrew lexicon on page 996. It means emptiness, shava, vanity. And I really like this translation here, uselessness. Now, that helps me a lot. You shall not take or lift up his name, his essence of the Lord your God, to or for uselessness, nothingness, in vain, to no, quote, to no good purpose. Now we got something. Now we got something. Let's do it again. First, listen to it here. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold guiltless who takes his name in vain. All right? Translating it tighter, you shall not lift his essence, his identity of the Lord your God for to no good purpose. Now I know what to do. I mean, really, I know what not to do, right? What would be some examples of this? To lift something up is to elevate it, to carry something forth. God says, I am the Lord your God. Don't lift up my nature, my essence, my identity. Don't carry it in what? To the direction or for that which is of no good purpose. Oh, that which is useless, that which is empty, that which is absolutely vain, to no good purpose.
Is that why the false prophets were punished? Because they used God's name, it seems, in vain.
Yes, they did. They used God's name for that which was empty, that which was vain, to no good purpose. And what happens? Well, that's a good point. Let's think of a few examples for people. Sometimes we ascribe to something that we do. That's a perfect one. All right? People saying or doing something, well, God said ABC. And the false prophet does the same thing, false by definition, saying God said when he didn't say. And God says, you will not take my name, my essence, and carry it forth to that which is no good, of no good purpose, that is useless, that is worthless, that is vain, that is empty. My name is good. My essence is perfect. I am holy. And I only do that which is good, and my goodness is to all, and my tender mercies are over all my works, as the psalmist says.
It's very common for people to say, well, God told me, or God said. Is that taking God's name in vain?
Only if God didn't say.
Exactly.
So I caution people very carefully, and sometimes even if one is well-meaning, not to necessarily say, unless God says, to say God said. Please be careful, people, when you counsel and work with friends and family and others, to say God said, because what is the person going to say? Especially if you're in some level of leadership, what are they going to say? There are people who have moved. There are people who have done all kinds of things and found out later, in some cases, we're not talking about the ones where God did say, to that we just say amen, right? We say amen. We're talking about the error even of well-meaning people who may just not really be hearing from God. And they say, God told me you should move or your child's going to be this or that. And we react and act accordingly. It doesn't come to pass. God didn't say. And we've done everything right. It wasn't our fault. We just obeyed that perfectly, right? I'm not talking about what God said and we didn't obey and it didn't come to pass. But what God didn't say, someone said God did say, it's a sign to that which is not of God. The person responded in faith and they've done their job with faith and patience and they did not inherit good. They inherited bad and that which is not of God. That is a terrible travesty. I think we're better off as we're maturing to tell someone, this is on my heart, this is how I feel, this is what I see. I want you to check it with God, I want you to check it with the Bible. And you know what? If it's good and it's God, it'll be great, it'll come to pass. When it does, we'll both say, amen, you knew God spoke, it was God, and give him glory.
That's good advice.
It's safe, it's good, it's easy.
What does that say again in the Bible? Read that verse.
All right, remember, people, if you're just tuning in, Exodus 20, verse 7, about taking the name of the Lord in vain. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain.
That is quite serious.
It's very serious. Now, the word guiltless is really from the word naka, N-A-K-A-H, naka, nun, kof, hey. Or nun kuf, some say. Hey, all right? That word actually means clean, all right? So clean, and if I put that word clean in there, it's going to sound much different, all right? You shall not take the name, or you shall not carry or lift up the essence, identity, or nature of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him clean who lifts up or takes his essence for or to uselessness. Naka means clean or free from guilt, exempt, or to leave unpunished. All right? So God says, that person takes my name, lifts up my essence to or for that which is vain, to no good purpose, uselessness. I will not hold that person clean or free from guilt. They will not be left unpunished. For they took his essence, identity, for that which is of no good purpose or useless. That's pretty serious.
It is. Then, now I understand why the false prophets were punished.
Yes, the false prophets in Judaism. Good point, Danielle. They were stoned.
They were.
You couldn't be right people 10 days and wrong the 11th day and go, whoops, had a bad day.
Right.
No, your life's over. Mm-hmm. Because if you open a mouth and say, thus saith the Lord, then it better be the Lord, or else that mouth would be closed. Not that I'm advocating that done today, but I will caution you people to please, 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 I implore you, don't do that. Don't do it to God, period. Don't do it to yourself. Don't do it to others. Many times when we speak, we're seeing through broken mirrors, our own hurts, our own problems, and sometimes we're hearing people, not everything you hear in a spirit is good. And, you know, just don't be deceived. When the Lord warned the people in Matthew 24, which is, you know, that's the Olivet Discourse that he spoke on the Mount of Olives, there's a very important principle I want to implore that you understand very well. When they asked for the signs of the end of the age in Matthew 24, verse 4, and Jesus answered and said to them, he says, and Yeshua answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Isn't that interesting? The first thing Jesus talks to them about, talking about the coming of the end of the age and the signs to come, he says, let no one deceive you. How good would your life be in your walk with God and people and your own self if you were not deceived?
Probably a lot better than it is now.
Probably a lot better. And I think for all of us, that may be a nervous laugh we can all, you know, really relate to. Just ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, as he said in the Bible, into all the truth. Okay? Be sensitive and be sensible. Don't be afraid to learn, but learn how not to be afraid. Learn to speak up when you need to speak. Learn to be silent when you need to be silent. Learn to listen when you need to listen. Learn to care. Learn to share. And learn to be very, very much a good Talmidim, a good Talmid of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Daniel.
So what we've learned today is that saying, oh my God, at stubbing your toe or seeing a horrible thing happen, is probably the right thing to do.
It is quite right, because if it's coming from the soul and it's bypassed your mind already, and you see, there's a common theme through everything Danielle is saying. The person is hurt. They reach for the healer.
Who else shall we call?
They reach for help. Who are you going to call? You're going to call on Jesus, people.
Yes.
So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to call on his name. See, when you don't understand these things and you're afraid to call on his name, and you lose power.
That's right.
You lose your position. You lose your place. And then you become afraid and you end up saying and doing the wrong things. Call on his name. Seek his face. Ask for help. Take his name. Just don't take it in vain. Take his name. Lift up his name to glory. Reach for him. Touch him. Bring heaven to earth. But go reach heaven then to bring it to earth. You're not to do it lashava, to that which is empty or useless or to no good purpose, but you're going to do it for good purpose. You're going to glorify him. You're acknowledging him when you reach for him, saying, Lord, help me, save me, touch me. So call on his name, people, and call him today. Amen.
Amen.